necklace of tourmalines, quaintly set, that lay upon the white lace of her gown. She turned her face toward the fire as a flower seeks the sun, but her deep eyes looked beyond it into the fires of life itself. A haunting sense of unfulfillment stirred her to vague resentment, and she sighed as she rose and moved restlessly about the room. She lighted the tall candles that stood upon the mantel shelf, straightened a rug, moved a chair, and gathered up a handful of fallen rose petals on her way to the window. She was about to draw down the shade, but instead her hand dropped slowly to her side, her fingers unclasped, and the crushed crimson petals fluttered to the floor. Outside, the purple dusk of winter or twilight lay soft upon the snow. Through an opening in the evergreens, the far horizon, gray as mother of pearl, bent down to touch the plain in a misty line that was definite yet not clear. At the left were the mountains, cold and calm, veiled by distances dim with frost. There was a step upon the stair, but the strong, straight figure in white lace did not turn away from the window, even when the door opened. The stillness was broken only by the cheerful crackle of the fire, until a sweet voice asked, "Are you dreaming, Rose?" Rose turned away from the window, then, with a laugh, "Why, I must have been. Will you have this chair, Aunt Francesca?" She turned a high-backed rocker toward the fire, and Madame Bernard leaned back luxuriously, stretching her tiny feet to the blaze. She wore gray satin slippers with high French heels and silver buckles. A bit of gray silk stocking was visible between the buckle and the hem of her gray gown. Rose smiled at her in affectionate appreciation. The little old lady seemed like a bit of Dresden china. She was so dainty and so frail. Her hair was lusterless, snowy white, and beautifully, though simply, dressed in a bygone fashion. Her blue eyes were so deep in color as to seem almost purple in certain lights, and the years had been kind to her, leaving few lines. Her hands, resting on the arms of her chair, had not lost their youthful contour, but around her eyes and the corners of her mouth were the faint prints of many smiles. "Rose," said Madame Bernard suddenly, "you are very lovely tonight."
"I was thinking the same of you," responded the younger woman, flushing. "Shall we organize ourselves into a mutual admiration society?"
"We might as well, I think. There seems to be nobody else." A shadow crossed Rose's face, and her beauty took on an appealing wistfulness. She had been sheltered always, and she hungered for life as the sheltered often do. Madame Bernard, for the thousandth time, looked at her curiously. From the shapely foot that tapped restlessly on the rug beneath her white lace gown to the crown of dusky hair with red gold lights in it, Rose was made for love, and Madame wondered how she had happened to miss it.
"Aunt Francesca," said Rose with a whimsical sadness, "do you realize that I'm 40 today?"
"That's nothing," returned the other serenely. "Everybody has been 40, or will be if they live."
"I haven't lived yet," Rose objected. "I've only been alive."
"While there's life, there's hope," quoted Madame lightly. "What do you want, dear child? Battle, murder, and sudden death?"
"I don't know what I want."
"Let's take an inventory and see if we can find out. You have one priceless blessing, good health. You have considerably more than your share of good looks. Likewise, a suitable wardrobe. Not many clothes, but few, and those few good. Clothes are supposed to please and satisfy women. You have musical talent, a love of books and flowers, a fine appreciation of beauty, a host of friends, and that one supreme gift of the gods, a sense of humor. In addition to all this, you have a comfortable home and an income of your own that enables you to do practically as you please. Could you ask for more?"
"Not while I have you, Aunt Francesca. I suppose I'm horrid."
"You couldn't be, my dear. I've left marriage out of the question, since if you'd had any deep longing for it, you'd have chosen someone from the horde that has infested my house for 15 years or more. You've surely been loved." Rose smiled and bit her lip.
"I think that's it," she murmured. "I've never cared for anybody like that. At least I don't think I have."
"When in doubt, don't," resumed the other, taking refuge in a platitude. "Is there any one of that faithful procession whom you particularly regret?"
"No," answered Rose.